You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
Okay, so I don't have anything really prepared or anything, mainly because I organized the whole thing and I need to sit down and relax and talk about mistakes and stuff. And also, you know, because we can also learn from mistakes that we've made, you know. My biggest mistake, I will get it started, and then if anybody else wants to share their embarrassing stories. My biggest mistake was in February of 06 when I went to the Sex Workers Art Show, which is a performance art show, and afterwards, well, I had contacted the organizer beforehand and asked about doing an interview. She said, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do it. Please come and find me, you know, before or after the show, and we'll do it. And so after the show, I went, and I'm really bad about just approaching people that I don't know, you know, especially when there are a lot of people milling around and, like, going up and feel like a jerk, just shoving a recorder in their face, interrupting their conversation. Hey, tell me what you're doing, you know. But so I thought I had to practice because I was still new at podcasting, so I thought I should practice doing that. So I did the interview with the organizer for, like, 15 minutes of her time that she gave me, and it was a great interview. And then after the show, I went around, and like, I was so nervous, went around to all the different performers and tried not to get all like fangirl either and be like, hey, I really liked your performance piece, you know, and stick the recorder in, have them talk. And I had like 6 or 7 great interviews. I was really excited about it, you know. Come to find out, I'd had the recorder on hold the entire time, so I didn't record any of it. I almost started crying right then. Like, the whole way home, I was just fighting back tears. I'll never make the mistake again. So that's my biggest misadventure story. And Rusty's biggest misadventure story is getting drunk and accidentally deleting a podcast. So I guess the moral of the story is, when you're playing sound engineer, you know, watch how much beer. Because we recorded like an hour and a half of really funny stuff with our friend Dwayne, and then it was just gone, you know, and he had to be very embarrassed and say, hey, Dwayne, sorry I got drunk and deleted your phone. You know, and I felt so bad about the Sex Workers Art Show because she had refunded my cost of entrance, you know, in exchange for promoting and the interview and everything. And then I was so embarrassed that I didn't even email her and tell her what happened. Next year, they had the show again a month ago, and we went, and she had contacted me like in January and said, hey, we're looking for a venue and can't get the one we thought we'd get. Do you know of anywhere? Da, da, da. And I said, yeah. And hey, by the way, this is really embarrassing. But, you know, and she was fine. She was like, don't worry about it at all. It's fine. So that's mine. What about the rest of y'all? Say whatever you want.
I had a very similar thing happen. I interviewed a pro racer and had to come back to him and say, no, that came out. As it turned out, we got to talking about like an entirely new product that they had in between them. I said, well, this gives me a chance to ask you about that and gives you a chance to pitch it. So that was another opportunity for that. Same thing. Sometimes you really, and my recorder has no backlight, so it's like, you know, you really have to like, okay, I see the meter moving, so it's listening to what I'm saying. Therefore, I'm ready to go. So, mm-hmm. So.
Surely, some of the rest of
you've never failed at anything?
Oh. I mean, I'm on a different level, though. I actually work for an organization that works with nonprofits. My name is Lisa, but I'm here to hear what you guys have done so that when I start this, I make sure that I don't do those things, because I'm the first point of contact and I need to make sure that I know that these things can happen and speak about them with some base of knowledge. But yeah, so those are the things that really scare me.
Yeah, I mean, that's really scares me. I don't think, you know, that I'll ever make that mistake again with a portable recorder because of that horrible experience, but it's just, it still, like, scares me to think, you know, I might lose a recording, and then how do I explain to this person But then also, like, dealing with other podcasters and people who work with this kind of stuff, the nice thing is that you understand that sometimes mistakes happen for you don't even know why. Like, I recorded an interview with Penny, the other organizer. We did it a couple weeks ago, and, you know, then she emailed me and said, my computer crashed, and I lost everything that we recorded, you know. And some people might get really mad about that and, you know, really huffy about it, but there's no, you know, no point. So when you deal with other podcasters, it can be nice that way.
And you'd be surprised how professional it is. I mean, like, Eamon was before I interviewed. He was like, Eamon, no problem. And I had the same thing where before I really started using Skype more extensively, I found it was really good to go into some of my company's boardrooms like this. And I could put everything on. I could have the mic kind of set back, and I could get pretty decent recording. I got one that was just hideous, but I played the interview anyway because the content was good. And so that taught me you really need to go to some other kind of medium. But, you know, I told him the same thing. I said, look, you know, when we're done, I'm going to listen to this real quick. You can stay on the line just in case, make sure everything's cool. And he's like, look, if, you know, if it doesn't come out, you want to call me back. You know, this guy's like one of the top pro endurance riders in the world. He's like, call me back. He said, I'm sitting here doing laundry. You know, I don't mind at all. So.
And I like that kind of thing, you know, because it just reminds everybody that we're all people.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, somebody might, like, be some very important founder or whatever, you know, but they're still just a person. And so, I don't know. I thought of another one when you were saying that, though. Another one that Rusty had was
Paul. Huh? Did it involve alcohol?
No, it didn't. Actually, believe it or not, he did a Skype conference call with three people who do blogs and or podcasts about SEC football teams. He did one for SEC East and one for SEC West, and I think this was the East one. And so he had them all on. You know, they were talking about, I don't know, football stuff. And apparently it went really well. And then afterwards he listened back, and for some reason his voice track was really, really messed up. Like, you could hear it, but the sound was just really bad and, like, crackly and everything. So what he did was he just went back and re-recorded everything that he said. And he said it was actually nice because in some ways you could take out some of the uhs and ums, but he said the hardest part was, like, trying to re-record laughter and make it sound. That podcast is up on our site, you know, if anybody wants to listen to it. I mean, I don't think you can really tell. So there, sometimes there's a way around it.
I just thought of one, actually. We just did a Skype call with the Center for Leadership and Education, which is located in Elyria, Ohio, and we were upstairs in our offices. We are also based in Elyria, Ohio, and the sky started getting really dark, and we were like, oh boy, you know, storm must be moving in. Well, one of the people on the call was from another city, and she said, I don't want to alarm anybody, but there's been a tornado spotted between this area and this area. And I looked at the technical director across from me, and I said, you do understand that that's like 1 mile this way. And she said, what do we do? And I said, I think we need to probably find some shelter. So the podcast is still going. We're still recording. And we are downstairs in the basement waiting for the tornado to pass by, which it did. We went back upstairs and everything was fine. So they didn't need to know that we were in the basement, but we were freaking out. We're like, what should we do right now? Probably need to get in the basement. So because it was coming our way. But yeah, that's one of the things. Those are the things with podcast. You can't, you know, be ready for a tornado to touch down 1 mile from where
right.
you're at. So
yeah.
We're kind of learning as we go to maybe put that in our clauses that, weather permitting, someone will physically be
well,
at the realm.
Will happen,
you know.
There will always be something that will happen.
Yeah,
will
it was crazy. I mean, we all just looked at each, there was five of us, and we're like, what do we do? You know, we're not prepared for this
or get blown away by a tornado.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And it was funny because they were talking about the book, The World is Flat, and they just kept going. So when we went back upstairs and our sound engineer was going over, she goes, none of them missed a beat. I mean, it was like, we didn't even need to be there. We were in the basement, you know.
That's
so
good. That's good.
I guess because you edit that out later.
Yeah.
Well, we had one time, we were recording one,
yeah.
And fire alarm started going off. And so we just had to stop recording, and then, you know, we went out and stood out on the balcony and had some beers and watched the fire department drive up. There wasn't a fire, but I don't know what was happening, you know, and then we just went back to it. And we kind of faded out when you could first hear the fire alarm go up, and we were like, oh, shit, is that the fire alarm? And then faded back in. Okay. Because for our podcast, you know, it makes it kind of funny to, like, keep that stuff in.
Well, the political podcast, but Rusty, what was it that Rusty did? He, like, pulled a cable out or something, and it's like a political roundtable. So we're all being sort of serious and everything, and all of a sudden just screaming feedback through the whole room.
He pulled out the headphone cable.
Yeah. Like that. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he had the headphones on.
And there were five mics.
Yeah. It was just the loudest feedback you've ever heard.
Go ahead. One of the Georgia politics podcasts, somebody was eating. Joe Winter, was eating a piece of pie while we were, you know, it's like five people sitting around a table, and it's like 30 minutes, you know, but he was eating pie like the whole time, except when he was actually talking, and he didn't realize that every time he...
That's really
the fork to the plate. It was very...
And people were looking at him, too, like, you've done this before, don't you realize that this is really obnoxious? We kept it in, and it sounded like paper shuffling around the whole time. Because I had people ask, like Shelby asked me, who was shuffling paper the whole time? That's hilarious.
I think the human brain's really good about filtering stuff like that out.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you and I can be talking, and then you and he can be talking at the very same time, and we are fine, and you guys are fine, but you put a mic there and try to capture it, and it's just... Chaos.
Yeah,
you know,
because it doesn't know. It doesn't know to focus. It just does whatever.
So little things like, you know, trucks, traffic outside the window, just sometimes really creep in a lot more than you think they're going to be. At the hum of this projector, would really kind of like be evident on a recording.
But see, that's constant. You can filter that out.
Well, right.
You know what I mean?
That's not too bad. But
the worst thing I ever did, actually, and I didn't even think about this. This is sort of not perfect. And what's sad is I work for a cell phone company, so I should know this. I covered the Great Divide race every year, which I've talked to some of you about, and Kevin Montgomery was a racer who was doing this race. Particularly a bad thing for him because he eats a vegan diet. And when you're going through the heart of the Rocky Mountains, being a vegan is not and being in an endurance race is something that you can't hardly do. You have to take whatever food's there. There's something with calories just rolled by, I'm going to catch it and eat it, kind of. And he said, hey, you know, if you want to do some extensive interviews, you know, when I get to the next stop, you know, I'll call you and we'll just do it. This would be wonderful. I get this. You know, how's the race going so far for you, Kevin? And I didn't have a speakerphone in my house. I'm like, well, I got a speakerphone on my set. So I put it on a speaker, put my recorder down next to it. The problem is wireless signal causes this like weird chatter, which is why if you're in your car, for instance, you know when your cell phone is going to ring because your speakers in your car go and then all through the interview, I got through and I'm like, what is? Oh, I know what that is, and I should have known what that is before I turned on my recorder. But that was probably the most disastrous recording.
Yeah.
So he's going to get featured this year because he's going to ride again this year, and I'm going to call him at home before he leaves his house.
That's a good point, though, especially about cell phones. You know, turn to, first of all, you shouldn't, if you're like doing a recording with someone like an interview or something, you shouldn't have your cell phone on anyway. But the digital packets will cause chatter on a microphone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually had a similar recorder mishap story. I do a video game podcast, and I actually covered one of the midnight launches of the Xbox 360 a couple years ago. Out in the rain, but interviewing people in the line, and everything worked. But I kind of forgot to put my recorder back on hold. And so I guess in my pocket, it kept holding down the erase button.
Oh, no.
And so it erased what I had already done. And I had already gotten like the store manager and done that stuff. Now, luckily, I found this out at like 10 o'clock. However, and so I was able to actually go back in and re-record the interviews, and everybody was great about it, except there was one kid who was in the line with his parents that I had interviewed about 7 or 8. Great interview, him and his mom, and the kid was so excited that he was going to be on the radio. Very excited, and it was great because I was like, so is he going to get to play this now, or, you know, does he have to wait till Christmas? And the mom's like, oh, he's going to have to wait till Christmas. It's going under the tree. And the kid's right there in the line to buy, you know, with her to buy this, so he knows what he's getting. I'm like, you're so cool, you know, and stuff. But unfortunately, they had already taken their child home, and so he didn't get to have his voice on the radio because I accidentally hit the erase button, or it got hit in my pocket. So, but I was able to re-record a lot of the other stuff, so I would still do the segment just without the kid who was just so excited about it and was so looking forward to it. I had an interesting thing too that happened because I use a Sony HD recorder, mainly because the medium is so cheap. The recorder isn't, but the recording quality is very good. The Windows version of the software, which is what I was using to extract the data off the disk with, Sony has done some really cool stuff with their DRM, even on their players. Mm-hmm. And if it attempts to extract a WAV file off of the recorder and something happens, you know, something goes wrong, then you try to do it again, it says, wait a minute, I can't do that because somebody's already taken that music off of that, because they consider it all music, off of this recorder once. So that's their way of keeping you from being able to do it. I'm like, what am I going to do? I've got this interview with a 17-year-old trials writing professional, and I need this content. Unfortunately, I moved to my Mac, so I just pulled it off of the Mac. The Mac was having a problem, too, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I thought, the only thing I can do is play it analog, and I'm like, this is going to be the most hideous-sounding recording ever. But by taking the line out on the HD player and going line into my laptop, it actually came out very good. So if you ever have stuff like that happen with your equipment, but you can get analog, you know what? The content's more important than anything. Get it analog, even if it sounds like it's coming over a telephone. I think most people want to hear what they have to say, what you have to put out there, far more than they want to hear, how polished or whatever.
You're right. If the content's compelling enough, people have a pretty high tolerance for stuff.
Well, speaking of compelling content, my biggest misadventure actually came from content that I did. I've been podcasting now for about a year and a half, and I guess this was about maybe a year or so ago. I did a 4-part series basically going through each of my 4 years at my alma mater at Morehouse College. And my first and second year were not that good. Third and fourth year were better. And I mean, I was pretty explicit about what went on. This is how campus life is. And I mean, it even went on, the time that I was there, even went on through the trial where the student was in the shower and had gotten beat with a baseball bat, and what the climate was like on campus and everything. And the comments that I got back from that, I mean, all the way ranging from like administration, current students, I can't believe you're talking about this, like, Morehouse, who are you, what gives you the right? And I mean, to the point where people from the administrative office had like pulled my domain information down and gotten it, requested it from my host, and they're like, we need you to remove this content as soon as possible. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that because I'm not lying. It's all true.
What gives you the right?
I'm like
a student there.
It's all true.
Exactly. Yeah, you pay it.
Right. I'm like, I'm not removing the content, and they never said anything else about it. But that was probably the biggest thing, that my biggest misadventure was like reporting on the truth on something that happened. So.
Wow, it's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary.
I could actually add a whole bunch of other set of misadventures, because the other thing about what I do is I also do it live on internet radio. Ooh. And so I'm streaming out live audience every Sunday night. So that leaves so many things, other stuff that can go wrong. One time I actually had a live phone interview with a really big name video game composer. He also hosts television shows. So everybody was in the chat room, and apparently my internet connection was getting hammered. So our stream was going down, our Shoutcast stream. And unfortunately, the way that I recorded was using the plugin that we use to stream, which cut off every single time every single time my internet stream went down, the recording cut off. And so we actually would have to re-record certain parts of the interview. And he was really great about it. He was like, hey, if you need to re-record anything, call me back, kind of like what you were saying earlier. And luckily we didn't have to do that. I had to edit some stuff out that got, really garbled and stuff, and add some stuff in. I'm like, okay, this got really garbled, but this is what he's trying to say, because it was kind of skipping around because the stream was messing up. The other thing that happened that was live, that once I figured out that now I need to actually have a second recording going on in the background, so I have SoundForge going on, and that's actually doing the recording, so if the stream goes down, my recording doesn't get messed up anymore. But I know about, like, the noise and stuff, so I try to, I close off my my spare bedroom anytime I do any recording, and I have two cats, and so I try to make sure that, you know, they're not in the room. Well, one of them was sneaky one night, and so my show starts at 8 o'clock, and I'm sitting there, I'm doing my intro talking, and so my cat's like, oh, daddy's talking, and he comes out from behind something, and comes up and starts licking my finger, going, meow. And I'm like, and I'm live, I've got, you know, listeners in the chat room, I'm like, oh, my cat is in here. And I just stop my little intro and everything. And so I, you know, quickly search for, like, some old, like, Intellivision music from an old video game system. And I'm like, please enjoy this video game music while I remove my cat from the premises. And then I try to throw him out. You know, but it's just stuff like that can happen. You know,
that's
just
funny,
adding the
though.
Life.
Like, I kind of like when stuff like that happens. You know, if it's not, like, some big serious thing
right.
you're trying to record, it kind of adds to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, animals are the bane of podcasts.
Yes.
I've had the same thing happen with a cat, but I was interviewing a pro writer, a local writer now, who became pro, but they live in an RV, a big, huge RV, so there's nowhere, I mean, it's like she could put it in the back room, but it's like you could still hear, because we're at her table, you know, just hear the cat in the background.
Yeah. Is there anybody here that, like, for us, we've talked about maybe putting a clause at the beginning of our podcast that inform everyone there that if at any time the sound goes down, you know, we're going to stop it and restart, or does anybody ever do anything like that with a clause?
I wouldn't even just tell your audience, just do it.
Okay.
Yeah, just do whatever you need to do to edit it. The thing is, if you kind of apologize beforehand, then everyone's going to be kind of
expecting
listening
that,
for your mistakes.
Because we've talked about, we have a sound engineer, and she's always concerned
yeah.
that, you know, we've got, you know, maybe like the other day we had 8 people on the Skype call, and we had 3 or 4 call-ins on a line. We had one person on a Skype call who decided to answer her cell phone. So we're hearing her conversation, but she was actually talking to a participant who couldn't get through on the conference line. So I don't know if she was trying to explain to him what we were talking about. But at some point, we needed to, as an organization, make that decision. And we said, excuse me, Trisha, we can hear your telephone conversations. Would you be willing to take that outside of the room? We can hear the content of your conversation.
Did you edit that out of the podcast?
Yeah, the sound engineer could, but, you know, it was kind of like we were back and forth. Should we say something at the beginning that we will acknowledge that there's another conversation going on and that we're asking them to get outside of the room?
Well, I'm a little confused. Like, is it something that you just record ahead of time and then you edit and put it up?
No. We were, like, this one happened to be for the Center for Leadership and Education, so it was all these educators from around Northeast Ohio. They want that, they were talking about the World is Flat book, so we were recording it for their website, so we would, you know,
right,
upload
but,
it into their site.
It's not live. It's
right,
not streaming.
Right. Well, it was, yeah, it is streaming live
it is
as well.
Streaming.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we were like, what do we do? And
I don't think there's anything. I mean, you hear this a lot on Matt Cass Roundtable and stuff, and I think if it's one of those things where it's live, there's a live show and a post show, I think you know, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with saying, you know, let's just take a pause here and we'll cut this for post, everybody just bear with us and then move on whenever everybody comes together. I don't think there's anything wrong.
Everyone understands that shit happens anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, especially, yeah, sometimes it's even part of the entertainment. The Battlestar Galactica podcast, Ron Moore does a commentary on every episode that gets released as a podcast feed. Yeah, so you can actually watch it over the show and stuff. And, you know, occasionally he'll, like, yeah, the phone will ring in the room while he's sitting there giving this commentary about this episode. And, yeah, he doesn't stop the show or anything. He just kind of talks over it. And he said, he'll say, I can't talk to you now. Bye. Yeah, I just hung up on the network because you guys are more important to me. You know, things like that. Yeah, he makes a big joke about the whole thing. And, or when people complain in the forums about hearing the garbage trucks go by outside. Yeah. He went on this whole railing thing about how he fired the gardeners, you know, for the sake of his podcast audience. Yeah.
Hey, you can make
some. Yeah, got rid of his dogs.
Take advantage of it. You kind of use it to kind of break the ice of the situation.
Okay.
Which may not work if it's like a really serious, you know, conversation, but still.
Yeah. But the thing is, one of the things that bugs me the most about a lot of those podcasts is when you start off by apologizing for the fact that your last episode was late or it didn't sound as good or whatever. You know, we're talking about the present and the future. I don't want to hear you apologize for the past or get too uptight. Yeah, with yourself, because I'm more likely to notice if you go and make a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm. I actually do for the live show. I don't put this. I edit it out of the podcast, but I do actually put a disclaimer maybe about 10 minutes into my live show where I say, "Listen, I am a one person show. I am doing everything. I'm reading chat. I'm checking the stream. And so, if you hear me shut up and have unprofessional dead air, that's why I'm doing internet radio and not real radio." So, you know, the stream didn't die. I'm just, you know, looking through chat to see if there's any intelligent comments to read, which is actually pretty difficult in a video game chat room. And, but, you know, I spend like 3 hours editing my 1 hour show, and usually I'm editing like 10 minutes of silence and stuff out to make the podcast sound good. But I do give my live show audience, I'm like, you're hearing the raw, unedited version. Sometimes I shut up, bear with it. It'll be all cool.
Well, too, you know, it's like, based on my donations, the 10 seconds of dead air you just heard is worth about 38 cents as opposed to on the radio when it's worth about, you know, 10 grand. So.
Right.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Do you have any misadventures in podcasting?
Well, there's a $500,000 I lost in Vegas, don't you?
You win.
Is that on the record? Was somebody recording? misadventures in podcasting.
I mean, if you've done everything right, then that's awesome.
I think one of the things that we tend to not do is develop a quality system. So because podcasting is new, we have to do things on the fly. And when we find success, we don't document it very well. And we just think, oh, it happened the same way next time. And next time it doesn't always happen the same way. So we've been actively working to put sort of recipes together. And you can follow the recipe, you don't have to, but at least the knowledge is there so that you don't make just really stupid mistakes.
I depend on my flaky memory to do that one thing.
Well, and there's always the hard decision when you listen to your own podcast, which I recommend everybody should do. Subscribe to your own podcast and listen to it in the car, just like you expect to listen to it. And then you find out that you made a mistake, or someone emails you and you made a mistake. Then you have the crisis of conscience. Do I actually fix this and post a new episode? If so, do I put it up as a new thing so everyone who already got it downloads it again? Would that annoy them more than, just letting them know, you have to decide, what do you do to fix a mistake?
Should I talk back to the group?
Yeah, the fact that it's time-shifted gives you some capacity to correct your mistakes, but it becomes a real question of, the folks have already downloaded it. Do you want to make them download it again?
Yeah, that's annoying. I mean, I usually just will post something, either say in another podcast or just, like, put up on the blog, like, thanks for letting me know.
It happened to me just yesterday. Someone sent me a message on my forums because, I had actually listened to the whole story through as I was editing it, and I exported it out to the WAV file, then I made an MP3 file, then I posted it. Said, about 15 minutes in, it looks like there's a few seconds that got dropped. And I said, really? And I went back and checked, and sure enough, in the MP3 file, there were a few seconds that like had gotten kind of shifted out of sequence or something, so a few words got dropped.
Weird.
And I went back, and my original soundtrack profile was fine. The WAV file was not. And somewhere in the course of exporting the WAV file, some weird little fluke happened that it inserted the wrong couple of seconds for just about 3 seconds of the thing. And it's like, okay, that was weird. It was after I had done my quality control, so I put it in the wrong spot. I listened in the wrong spot, and so I decided I uploaded a fixed version, but I didn't bother trying to make it a new blog post or anything. I just took a little note in my existing blog post that said, if you got this yesterday and you wanted to know what got said here, here's what that character said. Or download it again if you really feel like it. But I decided it was only 3 seconds. It wasn't worth making everybody download it again.
I do thank you for re-uploading a lot.
Okay.
Reverb.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's talking about there was the one show where I made a bad artistic decision. And it was the whole story was it was two alien characters talking to each other telepathically. It was a retelling of War of the Worlds from the point of view of the aliens. And so it's like love letters passing back and forth between the alien at home and the one who was invading. And I decided, oh, you know, telepathic and aliens and stuff, I should put lots of reverb into this. It would sound great. And you know, in my really nice headphones, it did sound good and clear. And then people told me, yeah, I listen to the car, or I'm partially deaf, or you know, all of these problems. I could not understand anything anybody was saying in this thing. Okay, well, you know, I want to be sensitive to other people's problems. So I ended up, yeah, I fixed it, and I scaled the reverb way, way, way back. I didn't get rid of it entirely, because I, yeah, without it, it sounded too much like these two people were in the same room, and I didn't want that. But I uploaded it based on audience feedback, and this is the one time I've made a mistake so bad that everyone said I could not understand what was going on. And you have to listen to that. You don't always have to do everything your audience tells you. You know, people are going to bitch and say I hated the theme music, change it. That doesn't mean you have to, but sometimes you really should.
I had one where Audacity did something weird, and I still have no explanation for it. I cut out part of one track and pasted it into a new track, because it was like we'd recorded an intro and an outro at the same time and cut out the outro, put in another track. And when I put it in the other track, like the waveform was still the same, it all looked fine. When I played that track, it was just silence. And I tried it again, and same thing. Fortunately, I still had like the original AIFF file that we recorded, so I could just re-import, and then it worked. But like that was just one of those things where there's,
it was the Audacity reference.
I know.
it's a free program, and it's a fantastic free program, but it's not 100% reliable or safe.
Yeah, I wish it was a little bit more polished, because I really hate going back to it. I keep my Windows machine with Adobe Audition, just simply because it does such a much better job of noise filtering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As long as it's not outdoors. A lot of the recording I do is outdoors because I'm out at a race. I'm out at a trail interviewing people a lot of times. And, you know, there's nothing you can do. There's just no constant. But like the whirl of a, you know, this device here. Or
well, we use Audio Hijack Pro now to record on the Mac, so you might want to look into that. That's
pretty amazing. Yeah, GarageBand is great for putting it all together, but it's not really great for polishing the sound.
Soundtrack Pro is what it is great, but Apple has stopped selling it standalone, and that really burns me up, because it's definitely worth the $200 or so you used to be able to buy it for, but it's not worth buying all of Final Cut Studio for $1,200 in order to get a really good sound program if you don't need to have the whole video editing suite. So I can't recommend Soundtrack Pro to people anymore, because you can't buy it affordably, and that really pisses me off. Because it is as good for the Mac as Audition is for Windows. They're very comparable programs.
Yeah. I use Wiretap Pro for, you know, routing my Skype recordings. Is everybody using Levelator? Have you tried Levelator?
Levelator is like magic.
Levelator?
Levelated it. Yeah. It brings all the volume in your podcast file to the same even volume. And it's really good for stuff like this, where you have a bunch of people in a room and they're all going to come in at different volumes. It brings it all the same. It's great. It's not great for all applications. It screws up music, for instance. But you know,
it's really good for interviews. And I'm about to put it to the ultimate test, because my friend Don, who occasionally does a co-host a show with me, Don has a really loud voice like this. So I'm over here. I'm relatively soft-spoken. I don't seem like I am in my head, but when I listen to my show, I realize that I am. So I'm over here talking about, IMPA has a new certification program for the Truth for Kids. And I'm like, really? Oh, that's awesome. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to email those guys. I'm going to say, if you can level this, you can level anything.
What do you think the best software is for, like, de-hissing? Something like that.
So far for me, it's probably been Audition, but, you know, I love to recommend anything on Windows for everybody, but...
How about on the Mac?
But on the Mac...
Soundtrack Pro is good. The very first money I spent on audio software was for a noise removal tool called SoundSoap. If you check out SoundSoap,
weird interface, but it works well.
Yeah, it is kind of funky. It's got all these nice little bells and whistles and charts, funky graphs to show you what it's doing. But it is quite good for noise removal. Nothing is completely magic for reducing noise. Because if you overdo any noise reduction, it's going to make the rest of your signal sound strange.
Sure. Now, I tell you what works for me, what helps take out the S's, the really hard S's for me, is I manipulate the track right in GarageBand. I find that the default treble reduction for a track doesn't quite do it. It makes it a little bit too muffled. But you can immediately click on the manual and just take the slider and just bump it up just a little bit. And you can play with that. And as far as just getting a good general sound, I've been able to do it with that. Now, if it's something behind, if it's ambient noise, you're going to have to filter that with something. But if it's your voice you're concerned about, and I found that particularly the case with headset mic combos, you get a lot of really strong S's from that, a lot of high end basically. I found that it does a really good job of at least taming it a little bit so that your listeners aren't like, whoa, okay, every time he says S, I don't want to hear it. So it'll really don't be afraid to play with some of the effects. And you can also play with, the new version of GarageBand, well, since 5, iOS 6 came out. They've really put a lot of effects in for vocals. So play with some of those too and see how they work for you.
And they want to woo the podcasters and have everyone drink the apple juice.
So does anybody have any more misadventures? Because it's like 2:23, so
I have
pretty much close it soon.
I have a couple.
Okay.
One of them is I did a wonderful interview. It was an hour long. And when I went to Audio Acrobat, which is usually very reliable, actually, to listen to this wonderful interview that I had, there was only 11 minutes and 53 seconds. And I was like, what happened? And so they said that it possibly could have been because the other person was using Vonage. They didn't hear anything. And if Audio Acrobat doesn't hear anything for like 30 to 60 minutes, it'll shut off. But I always make sure that I have no more than 15 seconds of silence. So I lost most of that interview. But the young lady said that she would give me another interview, which was good. But, you can't recapture certain things.
Yeah, you can.
There were certain things that she said, and it was really good. It was really on. So that had that 11 minutes.
That must have been painful.
Oh, very much so. But now what's happened is I interviewed an elder the other day, and she wrote a wonderful book. But anyway, what happened was when I did a sound check, because I always do a sound check with Audio Acrobat first, and she was not on a headset. I call her back. I'm hearing that she's just a little bit lower. I thought, well, maybe she's just talking low. Maybe she's just not into the phone. Well, we did the interview, and then I asked her, I said, Betty, were you on a headset? And she said, yes. And I said, were you on a headset when we did the sound check? And she said, no. So my voice is high and loud, and Betty is almost a whisper. So now I'm wondering, without having to redo this interview, is there a way that I can have my husband to balance this out?
Level it or make it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
free, so
it's
free. You have to drag it in. You need it in wave or AIF.
Wave,
yeah.
It's got to be a wave.
Okay. Drag it in and it'll work its magic.
All right. So those are my two mishaps. Everything else is great.
All right. Well, I guess that's it because it's like 2:26. So everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.